All right. So are we about ready to get started?
I believe so.
Okay. So I was asked specifically to do a roll call for our record. So Greg Coffin.
I'm here.
Tony Grove.
I'm here.
Bill Whitekemper.
Here.
Kim Krause.
Here.
Katrina Bowles.
Here.
Jen Hedrick.
Here.
John Conway.
Here.
Cody Darr is not here yet anyway. And Tracy Grieber-Rice is here. We have a couple of minutes. Well, we need to approve our agenda for tonight, which you received from Carol earlier this week.
So moved.
Okay.
That's it, yeah.
Okay. In favor?
Aye.
All right. Good. Okay, and then we have a couple minutes to approve. We had some changes on the April 13th meeting, and that came out earlier this week. Any comments on the update on this? No comments? Okay. So, somebody want to move for approval?
Make a motion to approve the April 13th meeting minutes.
I will second.
Okay. In favor?
Aye. Aye. I might want to introduce our guest.
I'm sorry?
I might want to introduce our guest.
Okay. Let me, let's finish the approval of minutes and then we can do that. Thank you. And then we have our minutes from the April 26th meeting. Are there comments?
Sorry, Cody.
All right.
Got voted off. Yeah.
All right. Okay.
I'll second.
Okay. In favor of approving April 26th?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. Thank you, Bill, for reminding me. Can we just introduce our guest this evening? Cody Darr's here, by the way.
Mike Plazin with Trek Design Group.
Great, thank you.
And I'm Sid Sullivan.
Sid.
Dave Nichols, Public Works.
Good, great. All right, thank you, staff, too, for introducing yourself. Okay, so the assignment from last time, or the follow-up on discussion, was to take a look at the street recommendations narrative that Cody has drafted, and I got some feedback from Kim on it.
Just me?
Yes. And so I think it's probably worth walking through this and seeing if we can capture comments from our discussion, if that works.
Sure
enough. Okay. Very good.
You know, Tracy, I was wondering, as I went back through the paperwork, there was back in February, there was a narrative that was started, I think, by Dave that was a summary of streets and sidewalks. So my question is, are we going to use that at all in the narrative?
From my perspective, I just kind of use that as some of my base information and then broaden the scope of the narrative a little bit and added some stuff about the previous infrastructure task force and then added some recommendations. So I was intending for this to take the place of that. I'm open for...
Is this it?
This?
No.
Okay. Is that... Is our
two-page
paper? Consider?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I'd agree with Cody.
I think you did a good, decent job of summarizing what was in it and then transposing it.
Yeah, that's pretty much all I was trying to do.
Yeah.
I was trying to not get too deep into the narrative. I already got it at seven pages. So I think briefer is better in general. So even if we could, I don't know, if there's some of this that we want to take out, I'm open to. Nothing magic about this, just somewhere to start.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm I'm sorry.
Another guest.
Oh, yes. Would you like to introduce yourself, please?
Joan Sullivan.
Yes, Joan Sullivan. Thank you. All right.
Well, let's see. I guess, too, Tracy, the date is the April 11th version, right?
Mm-hmm. That's the most recent one I distributed to everybody.
Yes.
I assume we'll have to at some point. So.
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. Are we wanting to go through paragraph by paragraph, or are we just wanting to review it? How does it want to say how we usually would do it?
How you would usually do it would be to go through it paragraph by paragraph?
Well, in the past, I think we would do that. Okay. Yeah.
I did highlight some notes from the last meeting and from the discussions afterwards. Let's see if this points person.
Yeah, conversation.
I definitely have
one is we recommended that a blanket traffic consultant be considered with maybe a 3 to 5 year term. We needed to define when a traffic study is required, define what is evaluated and the standards to follow. So those are kind of all compounded into one recommendation, I would think, as we draft the narrative. And we said how to handle compounding developments, defining contribution to road / intersection through study, and then how to finalize negotiation as needed.
Did you say compounding developments?
Compounding developments. So basically, one guy moves in, pays the cost of all the development, and then the next people who come on don't incrementally pay equal share. Yeah. They get the free ride of the first guy that was in. Okay. Increase development fee sum. And defining its use, establish more guidance on how to develop negotiations. Recommend a method when the development fee needs to be adjusted, either inflation or capital needs, or basically giving council guidance on how often to readdress the development fee. Right now, it's a fixed fee and stays, it doesn't get reevaluated unless it gets called for requesting. That's the notes I drafted. Highlight.
So one is, I think, a step is to see how, well, one, is that sounds like a pretty comprehensive summary of our last discussion. Mm-hmm. But do others have information in their notes or pieces they'd like to add to that?
I've got probably stuff I want to add, but just as we go through, I would... And as far as for the narrative specifically, for the recommendations, which is more what you were speaking to, I have some notes too, but mostly they were in relationship to those. And I don't know if I have any comprehensive, coherent recommendation at this time.
Right. Well, that was going to be my next question, Cody, is how does that discussion that Greg just summarized align with the existing recommendations in your draft? And can we update some of these we should add to that list?
Yeah, I think we should definitely add to that list. He did speak to the development fees, which I have a, placeholder essentially paragraph in the further discussion one, and then as far as the traffic study, that's something that would have, or a traffic engineer that we would, I think we need to think through that some more, but we can talk about that.
Okay.
Do we want to go straight to the recommendations and try to talk about individual, speak to
that? I think the narrative itself is pretty good. There's a little bit of wordsmithing, maybe a little bit here and there, but.
Okay.
I think the meat of it is the recommendation.
I agree.
And then what about the 2011 infrastructure recommendation status? I know there was some, I had a place, whether we want to keep that or not, a separate discussion, place for our comment on what the previous infrastructure task force recommended in the 2016 status of that recommendation. I feel like it probably needs to be gone through with everybody to make sure we're in agreement on what I've written or fill in what I haven't written.
Okay.
Should we do that first? We had comments on most of that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I would say that would be.
I think the one that.
I mean, that would just, if we could finish that, I mean, that I think is relatively straightforward, maybe, that we could just.
From the
address
2011.
That and,
yeah.
And
I think the use tax. Item C, use tax, we didn't address.
You want to start at 1 and just make sure, or A? Or I think I just came up with A. I don't know if I used, I think I tried to use
A. A being openness and separation?
Yeah. So, I don't know if everybody has. I pretty much paraphrased on my overview or whatever. But I have the actual infrastructure task force report here, too. I don't know if you guys have it, but we can assume that my summary pretty much paraphrases what their recommendation was. But I guess we just start with A. The 2016 status for follow the money, essentially, like how it's they were claiming or stated that the reports were hard, the budget was hard to follow, what gets allocated from where to where. Differentiating between the maintenance and capital improvement budget. As far as I could tell, there hasn't been any change to how the budget's reported. I mean, is that true? I assume that's true. I think that's what we stated or we came to say last time we talked about it. Do we have any comment on that? I mean, it seems like clarification is always recommended.
I don't know whether this is notes we added, but what I called up is that we recommended that it's still valid, mm-hmm. and this recommendation should be continued. Or
that's kind of what I came upon from what I remember from our conversation. Mm-hmm. Like I said, I did take some notes during that on in this packet when we went through it. Just wanted to make sure I accurately stated what our consensus was. I said should be approved on, should we add, although, I mean, we didn't add any, or I didn't have any line items for formal recommendations, so I was just going to add in that little comment there, no formal recommendation has been given to this effect or something like that.
So did city staff from finance talk at all about this, or
not specifically
concur that in terms of action? Whether or not action has been taken, is that something we need to cover with them?
It might be worth having their opinion on it.
Okay. John, do you guys want to talk about that at all tonight while we're here, or would you rather, is that more specific to the budget people?
Oh, what are you looking for, I guess, would be my question.
To paraphrase what their recommendation was, I'll just read.
In 2011?
In 2011. Mm-hmm.
It was transparency, really, on the budget.
Yeah,
it was make it easier to follow.
Well, we've done that. we used to follow it by department,
mm-hmm.
and now it's broken out into functions. There's more transportation, utilities, and so we've done some of that stuff already.
So there has been some action.
There has been some action.
Is there?
Maybe we could have some blurb from the finance department or from your staff, just kind of saying what has changed since 2011. I mean,
or what's available.
It could just be really generic. I mean, I don't think we're trying to get too deep into this part of it, but.
So the distinction, the delineation between maintenance and capital improvements is pretty specific. Is that, are they breaking that out at this point? Okay.
Yeah, two different finances.
Right, okay.
That's not how it was before.
It was that way. It just wasn't aligned like the budget is today. It's more by function today than back then it was by department. And so you might have, you know, transportation sales tax spread over three or four divisions that
be hard to
deals, you know, where you were looking for.
Okay.
Where today it's all basically in one spot.
So I think our comment, I mean, so we can add in the status, whatever.
Okay.
Blurb specific thing the city has done, essentially saying what John just said. And then our comment, I guess, would be the same. I mean, except for, well, no, I mean, essentially just say the same thing.
I think what you wrote there is basically it's we agree with it and should be continued to improve upon.
Yeah, and then I would add maybe, although no formal recommendation has been given at this time or something.
And you'll strike that sentence, no action was found to be taken.
Right.
We'll replace that with whatever the city kind of maybe give us some direction on exactly what has been done.
I'll try to get some from the finance director. She's pretty new, so we'll have to go back and check with her.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay, B. Funding mechanisms. Streets and sidewalks, the TST should be reserved strictly for streets and sidewalk improvements, maintenance, and expansion. TST funds typically budgeted for the airport and bus system would instead derive from bonds. That's what the 2011 task force recommended, in short, paraphrased. Obviously, that's from what we've heard, that has not. The TST still funds the airport and the transit system, so I just kind of just put a blurb there saying what the current allocation of the TST was. Our comment, I assume we're not supporting that recommendation. Doesn't seem to align with what we talked about previously.
So I recall we talked about last time.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry.
I recall that's what we agreed to, is that we wouldn't change it.
I don't feel like I need to get it. I mean, it's kind of out of our scope, the airport and bus, and unless we want to expand our scope to say how they're going to be funded, I don't know why we would get into that.
It could indicate that this is really out, that portion is outside our scope. But.
Well, just to make sure I'm clear, so what we're saying is that we are not supporting the 2011 recommendation. Right.
Yeah.
Although it's outside our scope, we don't support it anyway.
Well, or we could revise that statement, that comment, to say it's outside our scope.
Outside of our scope.
Or something.
Especially with what might go on with the airport in the future. I mean, they didn't ask us to deal with that. So.
Right. I feel more comfortable just saying it's not within our scope.
Okay. If something takes off with that, we don't want to be thrown in the ringer.
Because this is a funding mechanism, you know, comment, really. It's not related to the issues of looking at the airport or public transportation system. It's a question of whether the use of these dollars is being distributed appropriately.
It's more of an allocation. And yeah, although it would generate more revenue towards streets and sidewalks, we're just blindly doing something with some other money, so I don't, yeah.
Let me rewrite this to say this is not within the MTFI scope to address the airport and bus system funding.
Okay, maybe I'm being obtuse tonight or something, but it seems like this recommendation is related to whether or not the funding mechanism, what it's used to pay for, and that all they're recommending is that those funds should be for streets and sidewalks, not reallocated to these other forms of community infrastructure like the airport and the transit system. So the question isn't about reviewing those issues. It's about whether or not this funding stream should be split amongst the various utilities or infrastructure pieces or just allocated toward road issues. So I'm not sure we would need to review the airport.
I think we would need to know it. For me to feel comfortable with this, if we were going to look at this, I'd need to understand a lot more about the 16, 22, 18, and where that came from. I can't just blindly say, oh, well, let's just, you know. So it's not a matter to me of just saying, we're just talking funding. Well, of course we're talking funding, but we're talking specifically airport, streets, sidewalks, transit, on all of that. I would need a lot more background information to be able to adjust 60, 22, 18, or to say that a portion of it needs to be
without knowing.
I mean, I can't. I
would replace
sure. Today we do say streets and sidewalks need it, but without understanding exactly how that's comprised or who came up with that or what's behind that.
Right. So, is it worth it to find that out before we determine a recommendation? And is this still the accurate distribution ratio, pretty much?
I think it's close. I think it's changed, depending on the budget, but it's somewhere in that neighborhood.
Okay. And is there any context you guys might be able to share with us about, I mean, how do you feel about it?
Well, we'd always like new funding sources. and we do citizen surveys, and I can tell you streets is always right up there at the top of the list. As far as where to spend the money, and so I think it's appropriate to say that's if y'all feel that's where the money should be spent, and that I think it's that way. But the funding source would have to be found to supplement airport and transit. So,
that's where I was sort of headed.
It was not within the MTFI scope to address the airport bus system funding. However, we would encourage the council to maintain as much funding to street and sidewalks as possible.
Right, and to...
In a split.
And that it's worth looking at over time alternate funding sources for both of these other pieces. They're all important functions of the city.
And I think if you're following the wishes of the community, that's what they wish for. I mean, that's what they did do the survey for.
That's covered in the biannual survey, right? Okay.
And I think that, see, the airport's off to the hotel tax.
Yeah, that's interesting. That's
capital only, not operating.
It's
transportation is an operating fund. Not capital. So,
yeah, our operating comes out of the half-cent transportation sales tax, which is permanent.
Right.
And then the operator, the capital, comes out of quarter-cent sales tax, which comes around every.
That's street only.
Well, public safety, but not airport, not transit.
There is no capital funding for those.
Okay. So, and not to get too far down a rabbit hole, but the proposed lodging tax, would it be sunsetted?
It sunsets in 23 years, or when the terminal is paid off.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, B.
BB.
BB.
Yeah, they used a weird numerical system. Or actually, they didn't use it.
That one we can adequately comfortably say it's outside our scope, right?
Yeah, I think so.
So
we should take off the task force does not support this recommendation.
Does the issue even comment on it? In the fact that
they don't need to say this is outside the scope.
Yeah. I mean,
BB and yeah, all the way through.
You all know what I'm taking some notes on track changes, so maybe we'll get some value out of it.
I'm sorry.
I'm taking notes of track changes on this so we can hopefully have something that when we're finished that we can work through.
Close up. Thank you very much. That's very helpful.
I'm not the best typer. I'm glad to take notes.
Okay.
So one thing, not to get too off track, but they did recommend a 10-year general obligation bond supported by property tax increase. which property tax increase would be one way to increase revenue potentially. And specifically, I think Mike Mathis has talked about property tax increases being a way to offset the e-commerce loss of sales tax through e-commerce. I don't know if that's something we want to address or talk about, but I just...
Well, I thought we addressed that down in our recommendations down below.
I think I mentioned it. I don't know if we had a complete thought-out recommendation, but yeah.
Yeah, I think the issue is the recommendation is what they have the city work with the other municipals in the state, to address that.
Well, that was specifically to try to get sales tax applied to e-commerce sales, not necessarily replace it, the loss from lost revenue to
from lost revenue
to put it to property tax. I don't know. I just wanted to mention that. We can get to that later.
Yeah, that's your last recommendation.
I do have something about property tax in number 13. So. We can talk about it then. I just thought I'd bring it up since it was there. So we can move on to capital improvement.
Okay.
Well, on the general obligation, those are something that I know council and the city manager talk about using those for big projects, you know, big street projects, like that cost a lot of money or like an interchange or something like that, but that's what that would be used for. So I think that's what we're looking for. Or two or three specific big projects. Not to fund like the whole.
So would that only be a temporary type of tax then?
Yeah, it sunsets. Once you pay that bill.
So would that be a preferable way to do it with property tax as opposed to a ballot issue for a temporary sales tax?
I think you got to use the ballot to do that with the general obligation bonds. Okay. So it's a way for the citizens to vote on what projects, you know, would they want to do that with.
And let's see, historically, and I can't even remember when it ended, but it used to be way back, that used to be the way that some streets and so on.
Yeah, before we got the capital, the capital tax pass at 4%. Yeah. But we have that general obligation bond for a long time.
Yeah.
But could you support the general obligation bond by property tax or sales tax?
I think it'd be up to this, however you put the vote to the people.
I was just saying, would we even want to, I guess we could just say either or something. I was just, I know my recommendation was, you had brought it up earlier, something about a single ballot, issue ballot item, which would be like a dedicated 8-cent sales tax as opposed to a property tax, temporary property tax type thing.
For big projects.
For major infrastructure projects.
Yeah. Which is easier to get passed, mm-hmm. sales tax or
so
property tax?
You bring a whole bunch of them together and, you know, you're trying to cover the whole city.
Which one would the voters more likely approve?
It really depends on the political climate of the moment.
Neither.
And if the project's in your area or not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A sales tax is a simple majority. Is that what you said, John?
So the GO bonds is not a...
No, it's. I think those things, you got to do it when it's a big election. Otherwise, it's like 4/5 or 5/7 or something like that. You have to get to that.
Well, I guess we don't have to go into that much detail as far as the single ballot issue for these major infrastructure projects. Just kind of revise our recommendation. We can get to that when we get down there.
We'll see.
But BB is generally coming out.
Yes.
Just rephrase it. This is outside the scope of the NTFI.
Right. Okay, so capital improvements.
I think I need some grammatical quarter percent. I think it's quarter cent.
Mm-hmm. Oh, 1/4 cent. No? Yeah, 1/4 cent?
Yeah, 40 cents.
I guess it is different than a 1/4 cent. We're going the same thing.
Well, I guess 1/4 percent of $100. So
So it's pretty straightforward. I mean, it was extended. I think I put the question marks next to 2014 because I didn't know if that was the year exactly. But it did get extended.
Right.
I think it was in 2014. And the additional quarter cent was not incorporated into the ballot issue.
This 2014, right?
Yes, I'm sorry.
The renewal of the 1/4
capital.
Yeah. Is that 2014?
Last year was August 15th.
2015.
2015. Comment, we're a long ways off, but we might as well make the comment. We recommend extending it again.
That wouldn't hurt.
MTFI has made a recommendation that the quarter cent sales tax be extended once again, or just once the current one expires, but does not recommend. I assume we're not recommending the sales tax be increased at the next.
Not yet.
I think it's. I mean, I almost want to say why not put it on the ballot, but I think the reason why it wasn't put on the ballot last time was because they were pretty confident it wouldn't pass. Was there a reason why they didn't try to do an additional quarter cent?
Several ballots in a row there.
Yeah, we've had a lot of them.
Yeah. And I feel like they probably thought they were overreaching if they tried to add additional.
They added, that was right after they did the one for the police, it got slammed. So it just wasn't out. Well, a new time.
Yeah.
So is an eighth an option other than the fourth?
It wasn't in previous reports. They wanted to add an additional, but it didn't pass in 05.
That was an eighth.
Yeah.
A new eighth.
That's why we did that.
They tried an 8 in 08?
In 05.
And we had a quarter cent renewal plus an additional.
Our sales tax revenue is so bad, you couldn't really fool with an 8 cent anyway, could you?
Mm, yeah, you're right.
It wouldn't be worth it. 10 cent.
So I added on the extended after the 2015 increase ends, so that we recommended it would be renewed. Actually, should it be not extended, but renewed.
Mm-hmm.
What about that additional quarter? We're not going to recommend it, or should it be silent on it?
Well, generally, sales taxes are regressive taxes, and they're not my favorite kind to have. But if you're going to have them for things like roads and bridges that everyone needs and uses, that's not a bad place to do it. But I think putting a lot of energy into correcting the internet sales tax situation, which is less and less true, but where more affluent people spend money than a general sales tax, is a better, if not good, sales tax to work on.
So that said, really might be good to strike this, but does not recommend it. Just be silent on the, because really the additional funding source could come either for property tax or a better restoration of the e-commerce tax, or if those can't come to fruition, then we might have to consider another tax if we need additional resources for roads.
Sort of as an aside, because I do think it's important to work through each of these, but I see the final report having sort of an initial statement of some general principles and addressing things like type of tax in the general principles section might be a good place to get at that. And just say, here are the things that we think are important about how to tax people, and in our specific recommendations, we might refer to our general principles about why we followed them or recommended something a little different in this section. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I like that. I think it's kind of what I always had in mind is, you know, the narrative kind of supports why we came up with the recommendations we did.
Mm-hmm.
And let's see, and I think also as we would go through, then the different avenues of funding, if we, as we make our way all the way through there, then say that we get to the end and we haven't recommended any additional funding, then do we revisit
why we did this?
Keep that in mind.
And I like what you said too, but I think what we should do is keep the narrative as short and sweet as possible too. I would hate to see this document turn into the narrative being long, explaining or trying to break down everything.
Right.
And then in the separate, you know, sections, it just explaining the narrative. I mean, I think it, because I like what you said, but at the same time, I think it could turn, it could flip-flop really fast as to how we're explaining in our, in the report as a whole.
I think I kind of want to talk about what you said a little bit more as far as from the presentation, it seems like as far as general maintenance of the streets, we had the chart that had, you know, how much is being spent on the streets and how much you projected you would like to spend on the streets, and we're narrowing that gap right now. It seems like the customer or the city citizen satisfaction has been, they've been being more and more satisfied with the level of service of the streets. It seems like we're going in the right direction, and we haven't had any increases in funding for the maintenance of the streets, although we are losing sales tax to e-commerce tax, that whatever exhibit that we had here, quite a bit. I think if that could be re-achieved, or, you know, if we could get that back, we would be right where we need to be kind of with maintenance. Maybe we aren't, to me, need to recommend additional maintenance funding other than trying to grab what we've lost to e-commerce. It seems to me that it's more the capital projects that there's some question, first of all, allocation between developer and the city, and or maybe not allocation, maybe there just needs to be additional funding, period. So it seems like that might be, as far as a big picture, kind of how I see it. Now, obviously, there's other little recommendations as far as we have, as far as the process and stuff like that, operational types of.
In 2011, did they really address the e-commerce issue? I don't recall that they did.
I don't remember seeing anything.
It's become more prevalent now. It's almost like if we strike this additional 0.25% recommendation now, but address it down in our recommendations, if e-commerce tax, sales tax is not, you know, collected, and it gets it, then so other additional funding source might have to happen, such as an additional local sales tax or property tax or some other mechanism to draw funding and to capture room payments. And obviously, the city can't control whether the collection of the e-commerce tax will happen. It requires the state to make action.
I mean, haven't we discussed if that was the case and that were passed, then none of us would need to be sitting here, right?
Likely.
We would be dealt
somewhat
with.
I mean,
so I think we need to, yeah, are we figuring out if we're banking on that happening, this report's going to be totally different than.
Well, we've recommended below that the council pursue the state to do that, but we don't recommend what happens if they're unable to achieve
exactly
that.
And that's where maybe the property tax line comes in.
So up here, it just seems to me we wouldn't recommend the additional 0.25% sales tax. We would recommend down below on our recommendations if the e-commerce tax is unable to be collected,
okay,
other sources of revenue such as, you know, should be pursued to make up the shortfall.
What about the renewal? Are you still thinking?
I put renewal on here. I said
so
the quarter
renewal, yes,
sales tax be renewed after the 2015 increase ends.
Should be 2025.
So you know, MoDOT has put out a comment. They're going to reduce our STP, small urban pot, actually take it away from everybody in the state. It affects us about $350,000 a year. So that's sound like much, but when you figure our 10-year program, that's $3.5 million we're going to spend for capital. And so if that goes away, that cuts our 10-year program by $3.5 million.
So they're also talking about at state level increasing the gas tax by would they relook at how they're funding?
Get that back. That's part of the federal.
I understand that. I'm just wondering if that would make them rethink their funding to you if they got more funding.
Normally once they take it, they don't get it.
They did say...
Unless it's promised like the county did when they did their road tax, and the cities would get a portion of that. So.
As part of that, the original bill I looked at, and I don't read those things all the time, I could have been misinterpreting, but they did say there's a provision in there for matching, you know, part of the funding would be matching local programs, local
50-50,
yeah, that kind of thing, which, so that would be nice.
Yeah, we did that a lot.
We still have a lot.
We still do.
They took it away when they had their
time,
but we were doing very aggressive with those programs. But this is something that we've had for years, you know, and counted on in our budget. And it's accounted for in that list of ballot that we went out with the revenue stream on the back side. So when we budgeted all those projects with the capital, we were expecting the $3.5 million from this SDP, and now we need for letters and comments back to them whether that should exist or not. So it'd be
what's
awesome
your feeling on
it? Could write a letter and tell them we think it ought to not make it go away. That would be something we would really value.
When did they need to receive that by?
May 3rd.
End of the month.
Oh, May 31st. May 31st.
Yeah. So it might not be by the time our report gets out.
Well, right, we wouldn't have to
wait till the report
wouldn't
comes
have to
out,
be reported, just have to be a letter.
Just say from your City of Columbia Infrastructure Task Force, we would recommend them not do away with the SDP Urban Fund. It supports all these projects for our community.
Should we talk about that for a minute? Do we want...
Sorry to interrupt it, but...
Well,
today's the 17th.
Yeah.
I'll grab it if you want to say
it. It brings it up a little bit higher.
Go for it. That's my recommendation would be to do that, but I would can we do that?
Sure.
Okay.
Is that on public comment?
Okay, yeah, it's public comment, that's right. So and
would it be we recommend the council write this letter, or would it just be us two?
I've already commented three email back from the city manager office. Dave's going to send something from Public Works. You all would send
something. And I encourage individuals to do it too.
And we can share this document with the group.
Okay.
We'll do that tomorrow.
Share it individually, then we can hit it as a task force and then
Do we want, is there any other discussion, and should we take a quick vote on it just so that it's part of our group's record?
Yes.
Okay.
Sure.
Okay. Is there, would someone like to?
I'd make a motion that we support the letter pending our review of what Dave comes up with.
Right.
And then we could vote maybe by email or confirm by email after we've read the letter.
Can we do that?
Just make sure you copy on your vote, Carol, so she can put it in the minutes and those kind of things.
Okay. Okay. Discussion. Okay.
And that's coming from you, Dave, or who will it come
from? Well, I'll just draft it, and you guys will put your however.
Right, but you will see an email from you.
Well, no, we'll probably send it to Carol.
Carol.
Okay.
And Carol will send it out to all of you. We want to make sure everything's working.
Okay, there's a motion and it's second. Was there discussion? Everybody all right? Okay. Those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, so yep, our pleasure.
So look for
now
that.
Now we're getting something done.
Yay! Okay.
By the time we get back together, it'll be done.
Yeah. Well, is that right? We've got one more.
May 26th.
The 26th, yep. Okay, did we get through capital improvements? Are there other comments or discussion?
Probably
regarding C.
Taking out the recommended increase.
Okay.
I did add a note that we can address. I said address source of additional funding in the MTFI recommendations if the city is unable to collect e-commerce sales tax. So we, just as a dotage reminder, we'll catch it down below.
Okay. D, development-related infrastructure.
Also, let's first, second sentence, also recommend that the city formulate a more standard, grammatical.
So the beginning of D, Cody, is your restatement of the 2011 report, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And then the 2016, does address the 2014 changes. And then... the MTFI comment... I've got several questions about that, but one is, do we want to make it specific to the streets and sidewalks transportation piece for this section?
That was a following, I guess.
Yeah, because it's generic right now. It just says infrastructure. It doesn't say...
Development fees are directly towards capital improvements. So
when you say C recommendations, you're talking about the recommendations on page 5 that start on page 5, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Capital for infrastructure capital improvements.
Instead of C below for specific recommendations, instead of C recommendations for specific recommendations.
Can you back up to the middle paragraph, 2016 status? What justifies the difference in a low trip generation use and a high trip generation trip, the $1.50 to the $2? Is there a definition for that?
There was. At the time that they put it forth.
So we're going to rely on the...
Well, that's all. It's we're not saying anything about the trip generation. We're just saying it was put forward to the public and they declined to pass it.
Okay, all right, that's what I thought. I just didn't read that right.
I didn't intend to make a recommendation or propose bring up that specific type of fee.
Nobody wants to bring that up. Okay, well, let's pick that back up in the recommendation section and get through this, if that works.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. So, use tax.
So, 2016 status. Council just voted on some out-of-state use tax, didn't they?
Mm-hmm. Last night.
Exactly what they...
Yeah, that's for bulk motors.
Sales tax on anything.
Vehicles and those kind of things. So.
What other kind of use tax does the city have there? Or do they? There is none.
It's only the stuff they can license that you have to.
Out of state
stuff that you can come and license. Motorhomes and boats.
So there is no
cars.
Current use tax.
I don't know of any. I can check. It needs to be revised
in my wording there. But we could say something about the 2016 August ballot issue for whatever it is.
But in Missouri, a municipality can add a use tax, right?
I think you can.
We're proposing to do it, so I guess so.
So, for example, in addition to your county vehicle registration taxes, there could be a city.
There used to be a city tax on vehicles.
paying that.
They had that just in the queue, right?
Yep. A lot of cities had it.
Yeah, capital on there.
Well, I think we've talked about this before. What was the reason? Mm-hmm.
Didn't they do it with bicycles, too?
Bicycles.
It just kind of went away altogether for all cities.
Rollerblades, skateboards.
It seems like we'd only have
to. I think we talked about it, that it wouldn't generate a significant source of income.
And how do you govern it?
Yeah,
it wouldn't pass.
Do what?
Probably it wouldn't pass.
Yeah, how would you, how do you keep track? I mean, wouldn't it take this many people chasing around?
I think it's like the first of the year, everybody had to go in. It's like taxes. I mean, you've got to pay it every day.
Couldn't you just pay the county to collect it for the city?
The assessor.
You've got to get it.
Because so many transient vehicles coming in and out of it, you've got more to manage.
Yeah,
I don't know how police would even manage where tickets for work, you know.
Could implement it for Mizzou students that have cars.
I shouldn't have to.
Any college
You've been a visitor the last 3 months I've seen you.
I'm just visiting for the last 30 years.
So even a buck up for even a buck a kid for a semester would be a lot of money.
So the 2016 status will just reference whatever the council is putting forth on the ballot in August, and then our comment is we don't recommend it, or we do.
Well, do we want to ask if it's possible for the? I mean, why couldn't the county? Why couldn't the city just pay the county to collect it when you pay your personal property taxes?
Well, I think you can. I think that's what they're proposing to do in August for certain types.
For certain types of. Out-of-state purchases, though. I mean, so it's a fairly limited thing. If you go over to East St. Louis and buy a car, you'll pay that. But if you go over to Business Loop and buy a car, you won't.
No. But they could have made that the language.
Yeah.
Right. And I don't know exactly why they didn't, and I don't know if we want to recommend they try to, or...
Is this a fee that would be assessed when you get your tax? How would it be enforced?
That's what I was wondering is if it's worthwhile to ask some questions about how it could be.
I mean, like, right. Well, that would be DOR does. Your tax, right? Your
wouldn't plates. It just be percentage based off whatever the gross receipt of the sale was? Or would it?
Oh, God, yeah.
The
interest
is it
tax.
Only assessed once, then, when you buy the car?
The use tax?
Yeah.
I mean, it's better to get some of it, regardless of what the receipt is. It'd be better to get some of something than nothing.
So it's not a, like, every year recurring thing?
No, like I thought property. We were just talking about the sales. Like, when you go buy a car, you know, is that incorrect? If you buy it out of state, I mean, I know people mm-hmm. don't buy 10 cars in Florida and bring one here.
How do they remit sales
they
tax
pay,
on that?
They don't pay anything. Or if you buy one in Illinois, you don't pay anything.
So then when they bring it here, we call it a use tax?
You don't pay anything.
Now you don't pay anything, and that's what the use tax would do.
But it's a self-disclosure, or it's okay. When you get your initial tags?
Probably the license to the vehicle.
I know people that, a bunch of people that will buy and license a car in Florida or Illinois, and they drive around here with those plates. And I mean, that's what if you buy 50, if you buy a $50,000 yeah.
Used to crack
if you buy a $50,000 car and you don't pay sales tax, I mean that's.
Maybe your insurance rates is cheaper than Florida, right?
Exactly. Yeah, that's plain.
It's sort of like e-commerce, but
that's a good example of that. Saying that's kind of like what is happening with us with
right now,
internet sales. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Except you got to drive home from Florida if you're in a car.
It's Amazon start selling cars.
That'd be long.
Amazon Ford, once that comes out, then
doing grocery items now.
Yeah, FedEx will deliver your car to your doorstep.
Oh my God, Hy-Vee delivered to my house. I was as happy as a clam.
Yeah. Yeah.
I couldn't believe it. I was like, you guys are going to bring me
for
a gallon
free.
Of milk?
Awesome.
Get out of here.
So on the use tax, we're going to acknowledge that there's a proposed use tax on the August ballot.
Right,
yeah, I did that already. Do we comment?
As I say, we're going to say we agree with whatever council.
Because
they haven't really, it's not prepared at this point, so how would we even?
I'd almost say we have no comment.
Or pending comments? Or
no comment?
That's what I was leaning, but.
You had three question marks.
That's a lot of questions.
Comment.
I didn't want to presume for the task force, but yeah, I'm leaning towards just
waiting to see what they say.
Just saying no comment.
I think we could say something like, we want to watch the outcome of the August election and see the sort of reaction and feasibility of use taxes, particularly if they could be graduated in some way so that you don't have the typical regressive issues around sales taxes. So sort of the more you can buy, the more you can...
Should we just say, like, pending more information or something stupid like that?
Great guy written right now.
What I'm writing is no comment at this time. We'll wait on results from the August election.
Okay, vehicle registration fees. Yeah, so this is more of pothole tax.
This is with that sticker tax.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So, John, do you know if this has ever been attempted? Or I guess if that's what you would call the sticker tax or whatever, but why wouldn't you want to do something like this if it's hard to pass a sales tax?
No, I don't know. It almost feels like property tax.
It is a property tax.
Yeah.
Is this when you would just, when you'd go relicense your vehicle, you'd pay it? Or would they collect on this?
It was annually. You paid it annually, if I remember right. It was like a property tax.
So but they just mail you a bill, or how would they get you to pay it?
It's
kind of self-disclosure. I mean, do they track that?
Well, yeah, it's like the county. Well, the county sends you a form.
If you don't have a sticker, they ticket.
Either the sheriff or the police will ticket the
ticket.
But it would have to be done regionally.
Oh, to change colors, like just like a light, like on a light.
Yeah, thousands of transient people in our city. How would they manage?
I'm going to start counterfeiting $5 tickets or $5 stickers.
Well, and I was thinking what we were talking more about in addition to when we pay personal property tax on our vehicles every January.
I think that's what this is. It's an additional.
That we, instead of a sticker that the cops now have to look for, it's just you're disclosing your new purchase to the assessor.
So, I mean, why don't you just recommend increasing the personal property tax?
Because it goes to the county.
Right.
Oh, and so this would go directly to the city?
But the county doesn't give us any of the personal property tax off of those?
No.
Well, it gets distributed.
I think our personal property tax is 41 cents or something like that. Right.
Would they have...
The general fund.
If they collected that, I mean, do you have any situations where they would be the ones that collect it, but then they would remit?
That's
kind of the way it is today.
Right. It,
41 cents.
Yeah.
So they do. There's a process already for collecting it, but remitting, kicking it back to.
Right now, it just goes to the general fund. This would have specifically been directed towards
street
maintenance.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's statutorily possible to do that.
You want me to ask the finance director?
If you've got.
Because I searched it on the internet, and there's no city in the state.
In the state that's doing that. Okay.
So I'll ask her.
Okay.
And I'm curious, I mean, are we talking all of these RVs and scooters and whatnot? I mean, I know there would be a means probably for tracking some of that down, but no one wants to go there. This is self-disclosure. Like when the assessor sends you the thing that you pay and then they ask, there's a blurb on there that says, have you bought a new car this year?
But if you can pull over to every
or a scooter or an RV, have you bought any?
It's renewed every year because it's when you license, you got a new sticker. And as I remember, Jeff City that.
So we would do
color would change every year, just like
but you wouldn't have to do stickers.
So if you live in Boonville and you live and work in Columbia, do you have to buy one of those?
No,
that's the issue.
You normally just a citizen, just in the city.
People. And if you live in the county.
No.
Right.
I gotcha.
I almost think it's too complicated to...
I was going
to
say, how do they pull you over?
Today's world, you know, where...
Well, I don't think it's an issue with being pulled over. Well, I mean, they don't... Like, if you get pulled over, you don't get... Like, our parking ticket is you didn't pay your personal property tax.
Right.
That's what I'm asking you.
Well, if you don't have your, your license, I mean,
but if you're like 3 months late on your personal property tax, the cop that pulls you over isn't going to be like,
but you can't
you end up paying it because you got to have that tag to get your license.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's not an issue.
All your cars are listed on there, so your city vehicle tax would probably be, we'd have the county collect it and remit it just like we do the property tax.
Yeah, he was worried about enforcement, and I was just like, it's an enforcement at the property tax level.
I gotta be honest. If I had to take a random guess, why I would think it would have gone away was because the administrative cost of chasing it would have probably outweighed.
Cost $12 to collect 10.
Six.
Right. Eight. I don't think I was even around when it was.
But we have to register.
There was no computers. It was all done by hand.
Right.
So today it would be a lot easier to do than it would have been back then.
Yeah.
Everything's computerized.
I'm not necessarily not
for
it.
If you're collecting on property tax, you could have the county in agreement to on behalf of the city.
Right. But so, I mean, I'm not necessarily a fan of issuing stickers and then trying to enforce people that don't. I mean, if I've got a scooter that's not licensed for the road, am I going to have to put a sticker on that? I mean, I don't really want to have to fool with stickers. But so, I mean, my question is that the citizens disclose that they've purchased these or they own or have these items and then they get assessed it? I forget how it works now. If you buy a new car, you get assessed the value next year or something?
It's only if it shows up on your property tax.
Right.
I think the only way that would be feasible administratively is to tack on to something that's already in existence, like personal property tax through the county, which is a self-disclosure thing.
If it wasn't licensed, you wouldn't have any tax on it.
Right. So it would we would have to kind of go in alignment with whatever their list is on the back of the sheet, any of these items. Do you own pigs, ducks, cows? I mean, there's livestock on there. There's there's everything. But basically, in order for them even to probably consider it administratively, it would have to be their same exact.
Right.
And then for people that live in the county, not in the city, then the county keeps whatever revenue from those folks.
Seems like it would be pretty easy to get to $350,000 a year doing that.
I mean, most people disclose because they think they're going
to
get in
trouble.
They don't realize they're not going to.
Well, at the end of the day, when you need to license your vehicle,
But some of these items don't have to be licensed.
So you would only do those. You have to register any scooter that's over, that's 50 cc's or under.
If it's licensed for road use. This is a potential solution.
Yeah.
For lost income from e-commerce.
Here we go.
Agreement with it. We just said we could just recommend this is a potential solution for lost e-commerce sales tax. And we can put that as our comment. How about that?
And it shows that they estimated the revenue at $1,325,600.
They were optimistic.
I would say extremely.
Annual revenue?
City?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And that was
that
just
living
people,
county.
Vehicles, trailers, whatever else is on that list.
Forty-thousand households.
Mm-hmm. How many households?
I think we got 48,000 electric
meters.
Times two on vehicles.
That's
$1 million.
Account me in on that recommendation, then. Let's do that. Let's put all our energy into getting that thing done. Would that go to the vote? That would be a vote.
Oh, yeah.
Let's do that.
Okay. Bicycle licenses and permits.
I'd like to see what Ian has to say about that.
We actually do license bicycles today. It's free, and they do it at the fire station.
Right.
I think you've really discouraged people from licensing.
This would be on sale of bicycles, huh?
Well, there's...
Like a one-time thing?
Yeah.
Rachel to hold them here.
Well, helps.
I personally think we should pay people to ride bikes. But
yeah, no kidding. David Dean.
It's a lot. It's going to really hurt our street.
Right, yeah.
I think the amount of income you're on is not really worth
No, I don't either.
Focusing on.
What is the thought process behind it?
Use of the streets.
That they tear them up?
That the
Or that we
less,
spend money to
less.
Accommodate them?
I'd say accommodate them.
There's been a substantial amount of money spent to accommodate them.
An additional payment with
And now that Getabout's going to be no longer part of your funding.
That was all capital. It was all capital.
We're absorbing all that.
We had to absorb that into the operating cost.
So I feel like that's another place we would potentially be coming up with funding.
There's a lot of striping that has to be done every year.
Well, I mean, but is the striping for the bicycles or the cars?
Well,
to keep them from hitting
the
bicycles. Yeah.
They're the
ones
that
makes me feel safe.
Yeah.
Definitely.
The symbols, the rings.
That green stuff.
Would it really generate that much money?
No.
They said 550,000.
550,000? I'm going to get charged.
Oh, just on the sale of bikes?
Bicycles?
No. That's unreasonable. Yeah. Oh, in the 2011 thing?
Yeah.
Wow, they got some of that new math.
$10 each, so that's only $55,000 bikes.
A year?
And that's for everybody.
They're taxing on the training wheels, too.
Spokes.
They're making everybody's required to buy a bicycle now to live in town. What about clunks and all the bike donations, and then if we get, unless we already have it, that bike sharing program.
Yeah, bike sharing.
Oh, who's going to pay for those? I don't think it's worth it.
It boils down to, do we want to encourage bike riding or not?
Yeah.
And then if we do, then we probably shouldn't have.
What I look at is that there is some cost associated with putting the striping up, but people that commute to work or ride on bikes don't put wear and tear on the roads if they're compared to driving.
Where does that money come out for all that striping now? Does that same as street transportation,
which is its chump change anyway, the $10 fee or whatever they're suggesting, right?
They're projecting an increase in bike ridership, like
that's unrealistic.
That's what the trails are for.
Yeah, that's why we don't need parking downtown. Everybody's moving the bikes.
I'll buy that.
Should we strike our comment that's listed here?
I think we should.
I wrote it and I don't even like it.
We have no comment on this recommendation.
Well, I mean, as a regional trade center, I guess it's possible that we sell a lot of bikes out of Columbia that go other places to live. So maybe we're, if it was a, maybe it's possible we could sell 55,000 bikes a year out of Columbia, but boy, that seems high to me. Yeah.
How many houses did you say we had again?
48,000.
How many people have bought bikes here in the last 5 years?
But that's what our service has.
About a couple.
Right.
It's a hard collection thing because you can get a bike everywhere,
right.
Not just your Waltz. You can get
Walmart,
Target,
garage sales.
Yeah, I don't know how you could. I think it'd be very difficult to manage.
I agree.
And it does discourage people to ride bike to work.
The amount of money it would generate, it's not.
So
okay.
Strike it scratches length.
Yeah.
So all of E.
So I think we've beaten that dead bicycle sufficiently.
Strike all of E and say we have no comment.
No comment. After all,
I'm going to say none. No.
Would we want to say we don't think it would generate enough revenue to be feasible or something? Just to show that we
actually
thought about it.
Enforcement's an issue. Revenue generation is probably not there.
And perception of bike travel.
Right.
Yeah. And
yes, we need a comment for the Tribune commenters on bicycles and bicycle use.
But I put MTFI supports bicycle community. I just
council will like that.
How about we just have no recommendation?
We don't have to have. We can just check the whole thing.
That's a city take all.
I agree.
No comment. I don't even say no comment. It's no, nothing.
N-O-N-E.
Excuse me.
That's what we have to say about that.
Okay. Cody, you ready for recommendations?
Sure.
Okay. You just can't get away from it, can you? Okay.
Should that first one be changed and say it's recommended the city continue to encourage?
Yeah. Encourage. I guess that's a matter of opinion. They encourage it now.
So you don't think they do encourage annexation?
I don't think they encourage it.
So maybe if you could help me out, being new, to explain what the not necessarily limited by the urban service area, what that was referring to, and
we had the word value added between excursion and annex. We don't want to take on liability, but we want to take on value added.
Urban service areas in the Columbia Imagined Comprehensive right. Plan of Columbia, mm-hmm. where the whenever they put that together, they drew a line saying, this area, we believe,
the city has
necessary resources to expand. There's more to it, probably. But anyway, that's essentially what it was.
Okay.
It was their opinion of where the limits of the city should expand to.
And when did Columbia Imagine? What's the year on that?
2013. I think it's 2014.
2014?
13 or 14. Yeah, it's not that old.
It happened.
Okay.
A lot of those probably happened way before that.
Right.
Yeah. It was well after 10.
I think it's 2013.
So, because it seems like this comment section, not necessarily limited by the urban service area, is in that case a pretty strong statement.
The Columbia Imagined, I forget the wording, I think I have it in there somewhere, but recommends the city doesn't extend services past the urban service area, or I might be paraphrasing there, but essentially that's what they're saying.
Is they recommend not doing that?
This recommend the city not take on extending services beyond the urban service area. And I'm saying, well, that limits the growth of the city, and it limits the control, like the statement you just made. You lose the control and you add the liability of right. development outside the service area.
Because the development happens, it doesn't necessarily conform.
Yeah.
Eventually, it's
you don't get the sales tax.
You don't get the sales tax, and then eventually, it's forced in. Basically, it's inevitable that it's annexed, and then all of a sudden, the city takes on the liability of the annexed property that doesn't currently conform to everything because at the time it was established, it didn't have to.
That's why I added the word value added. That you don't want to take on a liability, but if there's an asset. That could be annexed into the city. It is a benefit to the city. We should encourage that.
And I think
bring in more revenue without liability.
And I think the concern there, just to be applying the opposite of what I was just saying, the concern is they didn't want the city taking on all that cost to extend infrastructure beyond where it is now. Which is a valid concern, and that's where, you know, capital improvement projects to extend major infrastructure beyond the service area, they thought beyond this line that there would be significant cost. But I think that's part of the developer plan of how they are going to serve it, how it is going to be funded. there would be responsible for extending infrastructure if it needed to be extended and they wanted to develop outside their service area.
How does that address when you get into utilities, because the utilities have agreements for service territory, and so you know the city could annex into an area that would be a Boone Electric territory. The city would serve it with electric, but it may serve it with other utilities, or it would have the roads. I think you're going to have that mixture where you're going to have utilities that already have agreements in place for service territory. They don't infringe on that, so you may have roads and tax collection, but the utilities may be by somebody else.
Well, so just thinking out loud here, do you know off the top of your head, John, you guys are doing that Henderson Branch extension. Is that beyond the urban? So they just spent a whole bunch of money to extend all this public sewer.
Well, we haven't done it yet.
Well, theoretically, they might be doing it in the future. You guys are developing the plans for it.
We've been told to move ahead, yes, but it's not done.
So why would we be discouraged, like Columbia Imagine is discouraging development or annexation outside the city when we're spending all this money in building a sewer out there? Seems like we wanted that to be annexed. It's
income.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's helping right. pay for that.
Right. It's income. And when you talk about Midway USA, the sales tax off of that, plus the truck stop, yeah. You know, you're talking about probably $500,000 a year in sales tax. Columbia would get.
Yeah.
That being said, I think it's very much a cat and mouse game, though. Do you pay most now or more later? I think a lot of that has to do with public opinion, too.
I'm more of a mind that because we've talked in prior meetings about the problems annexation causes financially, more of a mind that we recommend or that the annexation policy be looked at. And then some of that stuff that, you know, you're collecting $500,000 revenue from Midway, but all of a sudden we've got to start paying for all the roads to Midway. Or you know what I mean? I mean, I don't know that. And police and fire and all of that stuff that is going to be more than the $500,000. And then what if Midway closes next year? And then what, you know what I mean? There's no guarantee that revenue is going to pay for all of the services then now the city has to provide. So I've always been of the mind that we need to look more at the annexation policy.
I mean, that's just a fundamental philosophical way to view it, because I don't think there's any hard numbers out there that prove that it's a financial drain or a financial gain when you annex. I mean, to me, looking at it from my perspective and what I've seen, I, you know, want to say it benefits the city. They're gaining money and they're gaining control of the development of the land. But you could also look at it like him saying, well, what if you have to start maintaining these roads and that's more than, you know, $500,000 every year? So, I mean, I don't think there's hard data that supports either way.
Well, that's not what I was saying. I personally believe it's less expensive or cheaper for a city to take on the responsibility earlier than later. I don't, maybe I said what
yeah.
I was saying.
I mean, that's his value added now and the liability later.
I personally believe that. I mean, I've seen so many times through several specific incidences where, okay, that's fine, I'll go out in the county, and 5 years later, the south side of town explodes, and then how many different things have to be, oh, we'll get your sewer in here, and we'll get you water, and it's... I mean, I'm only 30 years old, and I've seen that happen I don't know how many times.
Well, as someone who lives in a what's now Central City neighborhood that still doesn't have curbs and gutters, you know, curbs and gutters, because it was built before it was annexed, some of those issues are very real. But I think what I would say is, I think there probably is, and it's my academic background coming out, but probably a great deal of research that gets at the issues of whether annexation either costs more or generates more revenue than you know, than it's worth, and that it might be useful to take a look at how that literature looks and what it says, and if there's guidance on how to calculate when annexation is going to be useful or not useful, and see if there might be some methodology out there that we should consider recommending for how to assess annexation as a general policy, and also when it's useful and not useful.
Because isn't there annexation policy now? If I own 40 acres and I'm attached to the city boundary, I can just approach council and say, I want you to annex my property?
To pay for
it's a voluntary annexation. It's discretionary.
And so it is. They don't have to?
But do they most of the time?
If your property adds an asset value,
I mean,
it's
purely property tax if it's undeveloped,
then
right?
You can see where they want it, but if it doesn't, they still don't want it.
It is something that gets brought up about every time there is a decent-sized annexation, somebody on the council inevitably saying, what's the cost for this to the city? Because it's kind of easy to come up with what the revenue would be, but it's especially when you bring in police, expanded coverage, it's so vague and ambiguous. And, you know, there's a lot of annexation that has to happen before you add another police station, you know, or you add another officer. And when is that, and who is it, what type of development incurs the additional public safety, and how much? And so to me, it would be hard to come up with that. But they do usually ask that question, especially for kind of controversial or larger annexations.
Like in her case, though, isn't there an annexation agreement?
On what?
On that 40 acres or whatever that they...
Only if you want sewer.
Only if they wanted sewer and it wasn't attached.
Contiguous. Kind of pre-annexation, once you're contiguous, you come in.
And then anybody now that touches my 40 acres now is the new, they can all volunteer. I mean, you just never know what you're going to get.
So, John.
So it's all about sewer, basically, when you annex.
It's all about sewer when you annex.
When you annex, if you want sewer, city sewer, centralized sewer, mm-hmm. you have to annex.
But that's what happened at Midway.
That's what's happening, yes, because their sewers are going bad. The health department's on them. They can't
renew
their permit. And so they have to, either fix what they have, which spend a lot of money, or hook the city sewer.
So do you have a procedure or articulated process right now for how you address annexation requests?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. It's run through Tim Teddy's shop.
Okay. Okay. And just a procedural question. I mean, annexation is a very broad issue. Should this be in streets or should this be...
Well,
when
we talked about
section.
Some of these, we intentionally left the sewer one in draft.
Uh-huh.
And we were looking to leave this in draft at the end, knowing that some of these recommendations
okay.
would be global to all of them.
Okay.
And we would merge them together at that point in time.
Okay.
But it was a little hard to tell until we get all the way through. That's one
okay.
of the reasons. All
right.
So I agree. It could affect other utilities as well.
Sewer is going to be a big thing with annexation because there's a lot of... intricacies on why you have to annex based on DNR and stuff like that.
Value added in here is basically, we're not just going to encourage annexation, we're going to encourage value added annexation where it makes good sense to the city to do it. We don't want to take on the liability.
Sure.
The city shouldn't take on that liability. Unless there's value benefits where it would offset that.
Well, that's where you get into a problem, though, because, for example, up on Harvester Road, DNR says you guys can't, or what was it? What was the one, the nightclub or restaurant on Range
Line? Peppers.
Yeah, so they were in violation of DNR. DNR says you can't renew your lagoon or whatever. So the health department says you have to, how does this work? So you can't put back in a lagoon now if you're a commercial type thing. So you have to do a cost-benefit analysis, and it turns out due to their proximity to city sewer, DNR is going to make them hook up to city sewer. They weren't in the city. The city council is looking at this really hard when they did. They ended up annexing it, I believe. They didn't want it, but the city didn't want to annex it because it was a liability. It's a crappy place, you know.
A lot of police.
DNR. I was going to say, I think there might have been a little more political wheel.
Yeah, a lot of police.
But DNR saying, no, you have to hook up with city. Look how close city sewer is. And city saying, you can't hook up with our sewer. We don't want you in the city. You know, so then you got this, you know, conflict of interest.
Well, property, you could go back and say, well, DNR says you have to connect, and in order to connect, this is what you have to do, upgrade your property in order to annex. The city shouldn't take on that burden because that property owner didn't maintain their...
Well, it wasn't. They weren't out of compliance when they were there for the last 30 years. Yeah. Now, all of a sudden, they got to spend $500,000 to upgrade their property.
And they didn't
just
they
to
did
connect
not ask
the sewer.
To be annexed?
Well, because...
They didn't ask the city to be annexed?
Well, they asked to be annexed because DNR was making them hook up to city sewer.
And we said no. The city said no.
I don't know. I think the city said yes.
Well, yeah, we felt them. I mean,
but they didn't like it, I don't think.
Yeah, I mean, what you don't want in sewer, and we're getting off track, but you don't want to have somebody in the county hooked up to your sewer because that's freeloading.
Yeah.
You're truly freeloading.
Right. I agree.
But we said yes
it's
to
just,
that.
That's what I was saying. It gets very complicated in some circumstances on the city's policy for hooking up a sewer. They almost got you on the hook for the annexation process to make you do anything they want you to do.
So this ties really heavily with sewer. Should we table, I mean, leave the recommendation as is drafted other than maybe adding value added and leave it until we get into sewer because it addresses, it impacts sewer more than roads.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a reasonable compromise? Yeah.
What impacts roads is like Ms. Rice said, when we annex and we have all these unimproved streets, they're either gravel or they're chip seal or whatever, we never go back and bring them up to the standards of a new subdivision that annexes in, which has a 8-inch concrete pavement.
Residential
6-inch concrete pavement that are built on 4 inches of base. They never get brought up to that standard. And that's the problem. Because it costs them more to maintain those streets.
Plus you plow them.
Yeah.
Which brings you into
the
subtlety of previously developed annexation versus new annexation.
So those are the things that we need to address.
But Greg mentioned value added. I think that's just a blanket that would make it cover you. Then.
There you go. That makes it palatable.
From a judgment standpoint.
That is pretty... analysis should be done to see if it brings value to the city. If it does not, then they should do it, and the council should, you know, unless the council thinks it finds another value to it other than dollars.
So as part of your assessment process, looking at the quality beyond sewer, so do you look at the quality of existing roads there, or can you make people improve?
Uh-huh. Anything like they're talking about at Peppers, absolutely. When we know it's a police problem, or it's going to cost a lot of resources right up front. As far as infrastructure, not a lot.
Right, but you could even, you being the royal you, but I mean, it's possible to even look at things like fire and police usage and make some predictions about how much an annexation will cost. Does that become a development fee? Can you charge people for annexing in?
Depends on the zoning they're requesting. If you're coming in with the CP process, yes, you can do an exaction, they call it.
So if you're going to open up a Peppers, you could.
If it's planned. But if it's open zoning like an R1, not too much. Not too much. Because it's open zoning.
But it sounds like the council doesn't often say no when there's annexation requests.
There's not a lot of zoning, not a lot of annexations we don't like.
Okay.
I think I can count them all on one hand.
The no's?
In the 12 years I've been here. We said no to Midway once. We said no to Peppers for a while.
Again, those were probably because they were about adding value to the...
No, they were going to cost
they
resources
were going to be
a lot. You
know? Right.
Yeah. And the reason most of the time we say no is because of police and fire.
So this is the more global recommendation because it actually crosses over from what we're charged here with infrastructure into police and fire.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, I don't get it. Why don't say no?
More often?
Yeah. If you know it's going to be a big financial sucker, why don't we say no more often?
We don't believe they are. Yeah. And I'll go back to what Ray always told me, you build a city from the inside out. And so we just keep adding to it, and when you surround, I'll just use what is that? Out of Georgetown, I think we're now surrounded. They're out in the county. They're actually taking up our resources and not paying taxes for it.
No is only a temporary fix.
Pardon?
No is only a temporary fix.
In Heritage, that's a big estate lots out in the county.
Country Woods.
Those areas, they're part of the city. They have all the benefits of the city, but they don't pay the city tax.
I mean, eventually, like El Chaparral.
El Chaparral, it's surrounded.
El Chaparral is not city.
No.
And it's, in 10 years, that'll be a problem.
In Lake of the Woods, you hear a lot about the American Drive. Mm-hmm. Well, the city's on, not all sides, but most of the sides of it. It takes resources from the city to take care of all that. Police, we help the county and some of that stuff.
So is there a way to sort of codify or calculate? I mean, is it a reasonable recommendation to say, here's a procedure we use to estimate the short and long-term costs of this annexation?
We comment. It's just hard to quantify. I'll just say a lot of times, if it's a brand-new greenfield-type deal, it's hard to codify that. Mm-hmm. If you're talking about bringing in something that's already developed, it would be much easier to do that. But a greenfield is kind of hard because you don't really know what's going to be out there.
Right. I mean, the intended uses, but based on the zoning request.
But
and plan development
is probably a little easier. I mean, if you had a plan development.
I'll use Phillips Track down there. We annexed that, 12 years ago? It just now started taking off, and it has changed developers four times. Mm-hmm. And we've changed what was going to happen out there that many times.
So the short term it didn't benefit, but the long term it'll benefit for the tax revenue for all those properties out there.
It's kind of controversial to be extending services outside the city limits. Yeah. You've got areas inside city limits that don't have, like Tracy said, curb and gutters and public sewers.
And
sewer overflows.
But there's cost for not, but like we were saying, there's cost for not annexing
to the river. Once we get to the river.
That you don't see until you've got Georgetown or Demerit or those. Now it's a huge liability.
Right. I don't, I agree that working on them now and then kind of figuring out where pieces belong is useful, but I think it would be good for us to make a statement that we understand the sort of cost benefit of annexation versus not annexation. So we're recording tonight, right? So we can look back at our conversation a little bit more clearly. But
didn't we put some of that in there already?
Yeah.
Well,
generically.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about it again.
I just basically said this needs to be addressed in the evaluation of the sewer utility because of.
Mm-hmm.
But it could be a
global statement. Okay. Do we want to look at two?
So two was, I don't even know if it's worth making a recommendation. It was just in my mind, there's CATSO, plan, and there's different arterials and collectors that are shown on there, and there's potentially collectors and arterials that get built outside the city limits that the city might not, and I don't know. I know they do work with the county some, but as far as exact oversight on where it goes and what through what properties and stuff. And maybe they don't need to be in the middle of all that, but then after it gets built in the county, then the city comes up to it and then they deal with it. So just ensuring that the city and the county and MoDOT are working together.
Blanket statement, it's not really specific.
That's why I don't even know if it's worth putting in there. Other than ideally, in a perfect world, yeah, everybody would work together well. But maybe we are.
I thought Dave mentioned there you do have planning meetings.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We do.
Yeah.
But, you know. Can we, in other words, continue to coordinate?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we do that.
Does the city and the county in particular have, like you mentioned, that residential streets have a 6-inch concrete bed to them? Are we aligned with the county for those?
We passed ours, I think, in 05 or 06, and they updated theirs right after that. So we're pretty close on all the uses and everything.
Yeah, they're pretty close. When you guys, in 2012, you guys updated yours and actually...
We put 4 inches of base on it.
So you guys have some more strict standards now. Yeah.
And more coming.
In sidewalks, the county doesn't require them in industrial districts, and they don't.
Well, they didn't in residential for a long time.
Yeah, so there's different. There's slight differences.
Hey, we're pretty close to that.
So could we keep it like Greg said and just change it to
continue?
To coordinate,
right?
Because it's an ongoing activity. We're just recommending it to
you. Now, do you do it piece by piece, or is there some sort of ongoing coordinated planning group that makes sure your standards are aligned?
Yeah, we get to comment on things that the county's doing, the capital area, what we call the urbanizing area.
Mm-hmm.
They send over plans to Tim Teddy, and it gets sent around for comment on what we think. So they don't always follow, and we don't always follow theirs, but we do comment.
Right. Okay.
Concept reviews.
Yeah. But is there sort of a policy level collaboration where you?
Tim and Stan have a Tim Teddy, mm-hmm. our planning director, and Stan Schauber, their planning, have a policy that they go off of. But I think the council actually adopted it, so did the county, on how we were going to do this.
Okay. I think we should reference that and say that. That's a good thing, and that's something that we should strengthen and provide resources for if it's helpful, so that there's coordinated policy that will make annexations more clear-cut.
And I'll use Battle High School. That was done in the county. We all worked on that, you know, Dave, myself, and mm-hmm. all of them.
Right.
They built the city standards for stormwater, and they built county standards for certain things. Okay. Yes, we were very much.
Is there any need by any task force member to have a map that shows the city limits, the urban service area, and the metropolitan area to visually or to...
It's in the Columbia Imagine document, I think, yep. Isn't it?
It's right here, John, if you want to know what it is.
Oh, I know what it is.
I think it's page 116 at Columbia Imagine.
Is that something we want to reference, like by attachment? I was thinking about this. We've referenced some stuff, and we don't. Should we have attachment? I know that 2011, you know, had some budget reports and some
exhibits
and other stuff attached. I don't know if we want to do something like that. I was kind of leaning towards not doing it.
I'm kind of leaning towards not. I mean, as long as we mention the document thing, go get it.
Yeah,
there you go. Go get it. It's online.
As long as we all understand, like you said, we all understand what they are. Okay.
Three. This is an important one.
That's kind of the same vein that we were talking about with the stormwater.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that we'll probably do for sewers.
Those are my goals, to create more transparency on how projects are prioritized to the public.
Right. We probably should read or summarize these for folks not looking at the document. I apologize for not thinking about that earlier. It's to have a consistent objective grading system to prioritize capital improvement projects. And then there's a set of examples of things to assess.
Greg, on G, necessity. To support.
That's correct. I like that better.
Really easy button.
So, do you have a similar sort of assessment list, John, that you guys use, or are we...
To prioritize?
Mm-hmm.
On street?
CIP projects. How you
CIP projects, yeah.
We had, we made some recommendations, had a work session, council was on our selection committee, we had a... survey where all our people could chime in, and then we went through a public hearing process with all that. So we had, like,
in general,
that's for the 10-year plan.
That's the CIP.
Now, for maintenance, what do you do for that?
Well, this is
we use the pager rating. I was telling you,
this is for capital
purpose. Yeah, this is just for capital purpose. And you do have a process, but it's just the way you actually end up finalizing that list is semi subjective. I mean, I know it's you guys go through this process and this public hearing and it's transparent, but we were.
But then
I think there was some maybe need, or maybe it would be better if there was some objective criteria that you guys rated also to come up with this list.
It's kind of politically driven.
Yeah.
Well, we're trying to get that out. Trying to get the politics out of Taylor.
Yep. You know, we
more objective in the selection criteria.
What we did was look at the safety of it, and where we got complaints, basically, that people were sitting in a line somewhere. Basically, we're trying to relieve traffic congestion when we do like.
And looking ahead at quadrants of the city for growth,
we're
behind it, and some of it we're trying to get ahead. So if you go too far ahead, people think you're kind of wasting money because it's not there. But then if you don't plan, it's you walk a fine line.
Scott Boulevard took us forever to get from that 2-lane, get it wide to where it was safe. Now we're working nightfall going west, all the way out, trying to make sure we got a loop around the city. I mean, it's just, those are the things that take into account.
Do you look at the CIP annually, right?
Yes.
Though many of the projects
yes.
extend over an annual timeline.
More there than we got money for.
And I'll be honest, I probably got on there if there was a complaint, and the easy answer was, we'll put it in the CIP. Well, that became a really easy answer. Next thing you know, I've got 50 CIP projects, and we knew none of them were going to get dealt with.
Deferred funding.
It's just
for projects.
So would it be nice for you to have some kind of objective score? I mean, obviously, it would be subject to the council ultimately and to political will. But if you had an objective checklist to how to rate these capital improvement projects,
triage.
I think what it does is it gives cover to the public. And so, how do you decide which project is priority? Well, this is our selection criteria. However, council has the final say so on that, and let's leave it at that. That way, you're
We could use the same methodology that we're doing with our street, those kind of things. Is look at safety, accidents, volumes. We developed a neighborhood improvement traffic calming program that had all these criteria so it wouldn't get political. Took that to council, and there's still a lot of pressure to move those numbers. So, we can develop something like that and then just...
What you run into on that, and I'm just going to be honest, is you've got to get the city to vote in favor of continuing that. So whether you need it or not in an area, you've got to get something in each ward that people will support. So they'll vote for it. And so, I mean, you could say you want something subjective, but you got to pass the tax ultimately. And so that's what you look at. What is it in each ward that we can do to get people to vote positively about it?
I think what I've noticed more from like a broad stroke is if somebody's been on the five-year plan for 12 years, like, is there something we could do where once you're in that 5-year track, then you can't get booted? Or, and I understand if the money doesn't come, the money doesn't come. But I think that's what a lot of the aggravation is that, hey, I'm on the 5-year plan and it's year 8. I mean, I think that's where a lot of the residential, like, I don't personally feel that. I'm just saying from what I hear from public comment, it sounds like, you know, if you do something where you're locked in.
This got top, you know, sewer, but it's basically longevity, greater waiting for older needed projects versus new projects. So if someone, like you said, someone's been hanging out there for years, and it's time has come to the top, and suddenly it's pushed back down again because somebody politically wants something new.
Well, this last ballot, we didn't really build new roads. We only built, we have one new road. The rest is widening and capacity upgrades and level of service of existing infrastructure. So we really are taking care of some of the existing, but this last ballot, there's only one new road on alignment, whereas the last ballot, we probably built 4 to 6 new roadways that didn't exist before. But that was due to service and...
And the new road's completion of the interchange is what it is.
We're trying to create connectivity and network as well. So, and as you grow, we're trying to get that infrastructure in place. It's easier to do it before you've got houses stacked next to the road and then you're buying front yards. So, those are the difficult choices that we were
Okay. Well, I want to be mindful of people's time, and we're to 8:48, and I also want to make sure we have time for public comments. So, what is a good plan? Do we want to try and get through number 9 on this, or do we want to say we're going to be done at 9 and get as far as we can, or what is the practice? We do have the 26th meeting set aside for streets, too.
I'm willing to go for 10. Nice.
only 10?
Wow. I know how it goes.
You weren't at the council last night.
Yeah, that's true. That might be a good stopping place.
It is stopping support. But we also have those other comments that I read earlier that we talked about as other ideas that... I'd be willing to go ahead and add these and add those as sentences and further discussion items so that when we meet again the next time,
okay,
that we at least have those to we pick up where we left off and finish.
Thank you. That would be great, Greg.
Since I'm already editing, it's easy to add those in.
Okay. And if people are up for homework, if you wanted to just look at Greg's version of the document and look at 4 through 11, and make comments. If you send them to me.
4 through 13?
Oh, I'm... Oh, 4 through 13. I'm sorry.
I'm going to make myself do this tomorrow, so otherwise it'll fall.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Pile of stuff. Assuming I have a few minutes. I have to do person here one.
Okay, so the plan is... We're going to take a look at 4 through 13 on the 26th. Okay. Anybody have anything under new business that you want to add?
So we're meeting the evening of the 26th at 7?
Yes.
PM again? Mm-hmm. Okay. We said some other meetings that I put on my calendar, but...
Yes.
We have scheduled the sewer...
Yeah. They're listed on the bottom of one of them here, the draft minutes.
June 15th. The 4th.
Yeah, if you look at it's on the 6th meeting minutes.
Right.
When's the following one? June when?
June 15th at 6 at the sewer plant.
Yeah.
I've got, I see, the tours at 6.
Yeah, tours here at 6 at the plant.
So the 29th is the meeting I'll probably ask Tom Roderman to come to, if that works.
What did you say, Tracy?
The June 29th meeting is the one I will ask Tom Roderman to join us at.
No breeze. Yeah, appreciate, sir.
Okay. So the 26th, we're at 7. Okay. All right. So general comments by the public, task force members and staff. Public, would you have any comments? Sid?
I'll make a brief comment. I'm Sid Sullivan. I'm a private citizen of Columbia. In the last two meetings, I've heard a lot about the lack of revenue that that the city is facing in terms of roads and bridges. But what I don't see is in terms of ways to focus the development of the city so that you can cut your costs rather than maintain the level of services that we're providing. I quite frankly don't see the current pattern of development as sustainable in that way. I've been following schools for the last 10 years and looking at the development of schools from Alfred Hart Lewis, the elementary school that was built between two subdivisions and the bank went insolvent, and so the development didn't take place. So we have the school board had a huge busing problem to get kids there. Battle High School was probably the next one. We're looking at a territory of a little over 4 square miles. The city has annexed probably a third of that, either 25%, maybe 30%. I don't know if the 2012 CBB report is on the in the capital improvement budget. That showed the roads in that area, just in that 4 square mile area, was to be somewhere, depending on when it was paid for, when they were built, of somewhere between $35 and $50 million. The size of that area, the combined plan of the city and the county when they planned that, left a lot of open spaces, so there's a lot of development area in there. That will, when it's developed, and it may not develop for the next anywhere from 30 to 50 years, but when it's developed, it's going to put pressure in terms of that the whole east side of Columbia and that circumferential on the east side, heading down from Battle, going down to Discovery Ridge, which is another expense as we keep expanding the city further to the boundaries of the county. Rather than continue on in this way, one of the things that I've been looking at, there are trends in cities that show there is a correlation between population increase and the need for schools. And schools are not only a traffic generator, as we all know, but they're also development generators. People want to live close to an elementary school. They want their kids to walk to school. But there's no coordinated planning between the city and the school board in terms of targeting the development, either with policies that encourage developers to develop that area so that it cuts down the amount of traffic that goes through the neighborhoods. Because if you build a new school and you take 20 years to fill out the assignment area, you've got buses and cars going through the neighborhood for 20 years before you get it down to a reasonable assignment area. And the assignment area is the area that your student population comes from. So I've looked at areas or ways of development where you target, you coordinate your development with the elementary school and target your resources so that you can build up that area very quickly, within, say, 4 or 5 years. So rather than having an urban service area, you would have targeted areas in the city, 4, maybe 5, and then when one of them is developed, then you open up another area for development. But instead, Columbia uses that urban service area, and we just explode. in every direction. And maybe it's political. You need to get the vote for people to pay for that. So you need to have a project in each individual area. But it's really an unsustainable model that we can't afford to, we just live in a partially developed city. That's the alternative. So.
Thank you.
I think that's a good point. Focus development where we want development to reduce cost of expanding infrastructure is a great theory, almost. But I feel like we build these new schools and that should attract development. And no matter how many schools we build in the north and the northeast and extend all these sewers that we've extended to the north and the east, ultimately, nobody wants to live up there. Everybody wants to live down south where the infrastructure is bad. We don't have the sewer capacity. We don't have the infrastructure down there. But that's where everybody wants to be.
So you've got Valley View, too, on the east side. You've got that whole development area there.
I mean, that's kind of what you're fighting. I mean, and that's what you said. But
how far out does the school board plan out? I mean, are they planning out far enough that you... Because I see, I've lived here for 30 years, and kids go through the system. It seems like the schools are always playing catch up. They're not planning far enough ahead to prepare for the population change. They're reacting to it. So to me, it's difficult to plan.
That's what happened with high school. I mean, suddenly, our schools are overcrowded. That should have been done 5 years before the.
I do like the concept that the city and the county and the school board work together.
Ideal.
For planning, because having three different entities,
They're all different independent taxing agencies, mm-hmm. but there needs to be some kind of cooperation in terms of how we grow and develop if we're going to sustain that. And the city or the school board now builds roads because they built the access road to the high school, and then they had to buy land and have the developer. They paid the price of the new road to get into the high school, into the price of the land. And then they put an elementary school there. That's how Elliott Battle Elementary School was sited. With the Valley View Elementary School, because of the problem with the city and the county, they had to build a separate access road from the, it'd be from New Haven up into the subdivision up there. So that they're picking up the tab on that, and we're paying an extra $1.35 per. The increase in our school costs are either we pay it to the city, we pay it to the county. But there's no cooperation in terms of how we plan ahead. I mean, we know if the population is going to grow 2% a year, we need a new elementary school every 3 to 5 years. We know that we're going to need a new middle school probably every 15 years, and a new high school. I'm seeing that at the rate we're growing now, we're going to need a new high school at somewhere in 2030, 2035, that area there. And if we continue on that growth pattern, we should be planning ahead for that that we know how the city is
developing. I think they have a site for that.
For their next high school?
They have another site. They got an 80-acre site off the end of New Haven.
Oh, the one that they didn't do last time.
They still own it. Yeah. So I'm assuming it'll be out there close to it.
I got confused when they bought that site for that southeast school that there's a 161 kilovolt transmission line that runs right by it. What does that mean?
What is this? I didn't hear the
name. Right off the building.
No. I'm talking about the one over in
southeast.
Southeast.
Southwest. The one that comes up New Haven Road.
That's the Valley View. That's the one that they just cited.
There's a 161 kilovolt transmission line running right by that property, right across there. 69 kilovolt line underneath it.
Maybe that's why they... People want to live someplace other than where they're building their schools.
Who knows?
Yeah, I will say in the city's defense, the city's tried hard over the last decade or so to encourage collaborative planning with the school district.
I would say, Golden, that the Northeast is probably going to grow the next 30, 40 years. It'll be just like Rockbridge was when he built it. Rockbridge was out in the farmland. Mm-hmm. We got all the sewers you want in the Northeast. It's all sewered ever.
And we get all the stormwater if we don't take care of it.
It all comes right down to
high ground.
All right. Our last meeting discussed the possibility of either Cody or staff communicating with Randy Coyle and Tim Crockett about how much they'd be supporting development fees increase and studying and hiring a traffic engineering consultant. See if we get them on their opinion on that. Is there any follow up on that?
I will check with Carol, but let's make sure that by the 26th that's done.
Could we draft a proposed recommendation for those criteria you spoke of? Maybe we can take those, somebody can take them to those contractors to get their input on it. Right now it's a concept, but not a drafted recommendation.
We might even think about doing that focus group style. Having some broader input.
We can get people to come in on the evening for that. But.
Yeah, okay. I hear you. All right. Thank you, Bill, for bringing that up. Okay, other comments? Okay, I think we're adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you. Kiss, right,
Yes.